Well, good afternoon and welcome to the latest edition of the Star Owls. Playoff week is finally here. Joe, Alex, how are your nerves?
I'm all right for now. I think it'll kick in when I get in my car tomorrow and start driving up to Sunderland. And I'm getting Alex and I'll be alone for a little bit. And I think when I'm lost with my own thoughts, it'll be a bit of a stress. But then Alex will get in and it'll calm me right down.
I don't know. I'm a nervous wreck. You're meant to be the Wednesday out of the two of us. I was going to say something that I absolutely cannot say on the podcast. I'm very nervous, put it that way. Yeah, it just, I mean, from our point of view, just to be self-indulgent just for a second, and I know that's not like me at all. These are the sort of events, matches that you get into this for.
100%.
And yeah, it's very exciting for us as well as the fans and the players and Darren Moore and all the rest of it. It's just, feels very, very exciting indeed.
Just one more game, Alex.
I would say, Joe, I don't know if you agree, it's definitely the best part of the season, isn't it? Especially when there's something to play for.
The best and the worst. It's like, it really is like a bit of everything. You know, there's so many, it's a bit like an emotional roller coaster at this point in the season, you know, that. There was so much sort of said before the Portsmouth game. And then by half time, Plymouth are getting battered and you're just thinking, oh, well, the rest of this game is irrelevant, really. Because we could have lost 5-4 and we'd still have got playoffs. So it wouldn't really have made a difference. So you go from that and then we're going to get to the game on Saturday and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be bouncing at Sunderland. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Historically, and I know it's a long time ago, but historically, this is a Premier League football game, and you know there's going to be a lot of that there. You know, the two sets of fans who, you know, they back themselves, and I think it's you look at these two sides, and I feel like everybody's going to go through this same roller coaster. There'll be people who get there full of confidence, and 5 minutes in, they'll be absolutely bricking it. And I think that's just the way this sort of next couple of days are going to go. Well, I say a couple of days, all the way through till about 10 o'clock on Monday night, really.
Yeah, it's, hopefully it goes to the second leg. I was hoping, someone doesn't get stuffed 4 or 5 nil in that first leg and then it's game over. There is a big issue to address. Barry Bannan, it's kind of been on everyone's mind since he limped off against Portsmouth. Alex, can you bring us up to speed with what Darren told us earlier today?
Darren told us definitively, no, he didn't. Basically, he spoke to us at, just after lunchtime on, what day is it today? Thursday. The players were heading out for training soon afterwards together, and Barry Bannan was going to take part of that in some way, shape or form, and he was going to be assessed ahead of the game. So that's what we know. Still a bit of a waiting game. We know from Darren Moore he'll only put people in if he sees that they're fully fit and firing and able to give everything that he wants from them. My gut instinct, I know that Joe's the same. I think Barry Bannan will play tomorrow. I think it would take wild horses to stop him from getting on the pitch. And, it's thrown an interesting dynamic in because, you know, Sunderland will have had to prep for a plan A and a plan B, you know, depending on whether Barry Bannan is involved, because he's just...
They're a different beast with him in the side, aren't they?
It's difficult to think of another team that is so completely different with and without, you know, one player in their side. You know, there are probably some big examples that are escaping me, but it would completely change the way that Wednesday go about things, I think.
Yeah. Darren said they were wrapping him in cotton wool, right? It feels like Beckham's metatarsal all over again, this.
Can I ask, is the fact they're training during the afternoon, is that a new thing? Or is that just they're not doing anything different this week?
It's no different to usual, is it? In terms of like specifically for this, I don't think. I think it's just a case of it with the game being on the Thursday. On a Friday, they're probably just, they've just changed up in that sense. I don't think it's like a change that they've gone, right, we're going to do this from now on. I think it's just something that's happened, really.
Yeah. There's a question here, Jordan Ellis. Will we see Harley Dean play tomorrow? Do we know the situation with him?
Your guess is as good as ours, Jordan. It depends on what Darren wants, really. You know, he said that he's he's been training well. He's sort of got what they were sort of getting to where they wanted him to be. I think with Harley, if they want to use him, they will use him. I don't think it's a case of he's unavailable for selection. But I think it'd be a big call. What do you reckon, Alex? To change the back line. I think if anyone was going to come into that back line as a change, it would be Harley, wouldn't it?
I think so. One thing that Darren said over and over again when it comes to defenders, A, he doesn't see quite as much, he doesn't put as much value in giving them minutes in the lead-up just because of the movements that they do. It's slightly different to, say, a winger or an attacker. He's also often spoken about the timing of headers and stuff, and I think he puts a real sort of weighting on that. And, you know, we've seen Harley Dean come back into the side twice now, having not played for a number of weeks, and he's got up to speed straight away in a way that perhaps thinking sort of maybe Shea Dunkley against Gillingham probably didn't, sort of lost that timing a little bit. So I wouldn't be entirely shocked just reading into what he said. You know, he was talking about, you know, the fact that Harley's experience, you know, allows him maybe to drop in and play a game of this magnitude after that. You know, a few weeks out, maybe that other defenders wouldn't be able to. So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me massively. You know, I think there's a growing sort of appreciation that perhaps the best back three that Wednesday can put together is Story, Dean, and Hutchinson on the left. That's harsh on Liam Palmer, who was exceptional on Saturday, I thought, and is probably, you know, with Dominic Iorfa for the overloading centre backs. If I dare use a Chris Wilder Sheffield United term, that we've seen creep into more sides. You know, I think Palmer's quite adept at that. But against someone like Sunderland, you know, the experience of that back three, you know, the form that they've been, you know, those players have been in at certain points, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was the change.
There's also the Ross Stewart factor as well, isn't there? Because he's a big lad who wins a lot of aerial duels. I think there's only, I think, five players in the league or something like that who've won more headers than he has this season. So, you know, you want someone up against him. And that's not against Liam Palmer. I think Liam's got a lot to his game. Like Alex has been saying, he's been really good for Wednesday this season in my eyes. But he's not one that you're backing in aerial battles 9 times out of 10 against a player as sort of big as Ross Stewart is. But it is. It's a tough one because there is that element of not wanting to change something and you don't really need to. But given what Harley Dean's achieved in his career and given just the sheer size of him and the leadership that he brings to it, and with Alex, I would not be at all surprised to see him in the starting 11. Whether that is the case or not, it's completely up in the air.
I know what you were saying, Alex, about players being gradually reintegrated into the squad. I feel like now it's about time Josh Windass had a start in terms of, you know, he's been through those minutes now. Do you reckon we might see him tomorrow night?
From what Darren said, I think that would still be a surprise. You know, it's been so stop-start with Josh, you know, and they did have the benefit of gradually, you know, push him in, and he still got injured after it. I think hamstring is such a difficult thing for a football to get over. I do sort of have sympathy with supporters who were sort of saying, well, you know, if you're not going to throw him back in or push him back in ahead of time now, when are you going to do it? I think the fact that, you know, we're looking at still another best part of 3 weeks, still a final, if Wednesday we're going to get there. And it's, I'm not sure with Josh, if he's such an energetic player that's reliant on his movement and stuff. I don't see the benefit of putting him on if he's not, you know, fully fit or very close to fully fit, because it takes away so much of his game if he's not going to be quite there. So I'd
that's what his game's all about.
That's it. And you know, there's the question, if Bannon can't play, you know, who goes into that 10? Is it Fizz? Is it Josh? You know, does Callum Patterson go in there? You know, in terms of goal threat, you're probably looking at pushing Windass out there if Bannon can't play, because these days Barry Bannon is certainly a goal threat. So there's a lot of questions sort of up in the air. As I said, you know, Darren sort of answered the question. You know, he's getting there, he's getting the minutes. I don't think he was particularly forthcoming suggesting that Windass would start. But again, he's someone that I'd expect to see off the bench at some point, I think.
He did say that if they needed to, they could start him, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. The fact that they do feel that they're at a point now where if Josh is needed, they feel like he's at a level that he could be thrown in.
Yeah. Just a side note, Alex, is that new wallpaper behind you? Some animals on there.
This used to be my office. Is now my daughter's nursery. And yeah, the wall, those of you that are listening on the podcast won't be able to see, there is a woodland thing going on, and there's a feature wall with owls wallpaper.
I'm going to say it's not woodland, is it, mate? It's owls wallpaper. No. We know what you've done here.
The sea crests just below, yeah.
I'll make it very clear that the missus brought this home. I had no part in it. This isn't some sycophantic effort on my part, but yeah, nice little bit of symmetry that it happens to be owls, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to move on to the game for a bit. There's a comment in the comments section. It talks about how a draw would be really good. Obviously, a win would be better, of course. But, Joe, I mean, I heard you on the Sunderland podcast earlier this week. I think you said that, the same thing, that you'd quite happily take a draw at this stage.
I'd take a draw now. I think Wednesday have got such a good chance at home, given how good they've been at home this season, that if we were to get a draw at their place, I think that, obviously, there's no guarantees, but I think that we've got enough to get the job done at home. To be honest, I think I was saying to the Sunderland guys, my gut's saying we lose this first leg. I think we might get beaten narrowly. I thought like a 1-0. I think we've still got enough to overturn it. But Wednesday have not been great away from home this season. And obviously, Sunderland have been very good at home. You know, like us, I think we've got 53 points. They've got 51 at home this season. So two of the best teams in the league in terms of home form. I think, you know, the 5-0 and the 3-0 from this season are pretty much moot points now. I think Sunderland are very different to what they were that day, and we're very different given the COVID situation, all that kind of stuff that happened when they stuck 5 past us. So I don't think you can really look at those two games. But I think that they're a good side. They're going to have their fans behind them. And if you were to offer me a 1-1 or a 0-0 now, I think I'd take that.
Alex, what do you reckon?
Yeah, a draw would be very nice indeed. A win would be fan-dabby-dozy. But, everything that Joe's just said, like the home forms of both sides. And this is where, I think we mentioned it on the pod last week, finishing fourth really is a big thing, you know, because you get that second leg at home and, all right, you know, the away goals doesn't come into it. But, it just allows Wednesday and Wednesday supporters to play that bigger part in the outcome of the tie, I think. And, of course, you know, if it is two draws, then those extra few minutes are played on home turf, which, you know, is a big, big thing, I think.
Definitely. How do you see the game going down, Joe? Do you see it cagey, expansive?
Yeah. It's going very cagey. I think it's you're at that point in the season. I don't think either team is going to shut up shop. You know, I don't think it's going to be a game where, you know, you often see teams who are sort of too afraid to lose and they end up just cancelling each other out and no one making an effort. I don't think it's going to be that, but I don't think anyone's going to be taking any unnecessary risks either. I do think it's going to be quite a tactical game of football. You know, there'll be a lot of thought gone into the way that the two teams play. You know, you listen to Alex Neil and it's really interesting that Alex Neil was saying how they've used Wednesday a lot this season because they play the same formation. They've used Wednesday a lot in terms of seeing how other teams have gone at Wednesday and, you know, in preparation to play them. So they know, you know, Alex Neil knows all about how Wednesday have played. He knows how to get them. He'll know very well how much of a threat they can cause from set pieces and that kind of stuff. So I think that, look, with Alex Neil and with Darren, they're two very meticulous managers. They spend a lot of time sort of planning in advance for these games. And because of that, I don't think we're going to see a 3-0 or a 5-0 again, put it that way. I would be very surprised if we see more than, you know, 3 goals in either of these games.
Alex, sorry to put you under pressure with this one. David Benson says, if Wednesday don't go up, we can all be very proud of the team and Darren. Obviously, I think before the season started, you predicted playoffs, didn't you? Sort of somewhere around 6th place, 4th. Now, I don't want to tempt fate, but if they were to go out of the semi-final stage, and maybe this is a question we might have to come back to Monday or Tuesday, would that be a complete failure to go out to a team like Sunderland? The whole season be seen as that?
to take you behind the curtain of press life at Sheffield Wednesday. We were having this chat before the game on Saturday. You know, and if, God forbid, you know, Wednesday had finished seventh, what would become of Darren Moore and our different opinions on it? And you know, mine was very much that I don't think people are either aware or have forgotten quite quickly just what a mess Sheffield Wednesday was in at the start of the season. In so many ways, you know, I went down to.
I don't think shambles has ever been more adequate a word, really.
I went down to Wales for the pre-season, by Celtic in pre-season game that we were invited to, and you know the number of young players, you know, there were a bunch of 18-year-olds, there were trialists, essentially there to fill spaces and make sure that they could fill pre-season matches. Players not being paid. Players very close to walking out of the club. The job that Darren Moore and people behind the club, and yes, you know, Dave Fonchansiri's got to take some credit for his change in approach. You know, finishing anywhere near the playoffs for me has been an achievement and will give them a springboard for next season. The fact that they finished fourth, I think, is a remarkable achievement. That's before you even talk about the injuries and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think Darren Moore's done an excellent job, far exceeding anything that I expected me personally. I know that some people maybe have higher expectations and certainly have been, I know, attached to the club more. You know, whether that gives it a difference. I've been covering the club for 3 years. Does that give me a different perspective to someone that's supported them for 30? You know, can I step away from it a little bit? I don't know. But like I said, you know, sixth would have been an achievement. Seventh would have been a disappointment, don't get me wrong. But the fact that they finished fourth and have a home leg in the semi-final and a shot at Wembley, I think, is an outstanding achievement.
Joe, where do you stand?
I'm the same. Me, it's not great for these podcasts, you know, because we can't have these.
There's an agreement. Yeah.
there's a lot that me and Alex do agree on when it comes to this. And we obviously spend a lot of time together in, like, cars and stuff like that, talking about this stuff. And I'm the thing that I think with what Darren Moore's done is that what he's achieved on the field is good. You know, I don't think you can really argue against that. But the stuff that he's done behind the scenes, if I think back to last season, this is not an exaggeration. We were writing stuff every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks there'd be something, whether it was unpaid wages, whether it was, you know, potential walkouts. There was just so much going on. We were firing managers every 3 months or something like that, every 2 months on average. It was nuts. And the fact that Darren's managed to come in and steady the ship the way that he has. And also, you look back to the game the other day, and we've seen it's been kind of creeping up as the season's gone on and form's improved. There was this... The only way I can explain it, when Portsmouth scored that goal, there was a split second of, oh, yeah, this is what happens. But it was instantaneously, it was gone. It was like a dip, and then almost straight away there was this like roar that went up from the whole stadium, and that has not been there for a long time. Not like that, you know. The connection that Darren has managed to sort of bring back to the club in terms of the connection between the players and the fans. And look, don't get me wrong, results help. You know, when you're winning games, it does help these things. You wouldn't have had any of this if it wasn't for the fact he was getting results too. But he's the one getting the results as well. You know, I was talking to someone about it the other day, and it does feel for some people that when Wednesday do well, it's the players and it's the work they've done. When they do badly, it's because of decisions he's made or changes that he's made. But I do think that, for me, these things go hand in hand. And for what Darren's done off the field, I think that he deserves, even if we'd finished seventh, like Alex said, for what he's done off the field, that I would have absolutely no doubt in keeping around for at least another season, because I think that to turn things around the way that he's done is pretty remarkable, really.
Okay, cheers for that. I'm going to, as a last note, I'm not going to ask you, because I'm presuming you both have tipped Wednesday to progress in the tie.
Obviously.
Yeah. You know, first leg score predictions, and ideally goal scorers, just to make it a little bit harder for you. Alex, you first.
1-1. Lee Gregory equalised with 10 minutes to go.
Take the mental advantage into the second leg then.
You know it.
Momentum and all that.
Yeah. Joe?
I'm going 1-0 Sunderland. Alex Pritchard, I think. But I have to clarify, I do still think Wednesday will go through.
Hopefully. Well, that brings us to a close for today. I'm sure we'll be back before the second leg. Thanks very much for listening and for all your comments. Take care.